and I are marching toward a destiny at your local cemetery. The question on the floor is there anything on the other side?
Dr. Tony Evans talks about the afterlife.
Death is a conjunction. It is not a period. You've only just begun.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Today, Dr. Evans will take a look at how the here and now affects the hereafter as he starts a series on the afterlife. Let's join him as he begins.
Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. The prayer of children who are taught early that there is such a thing as a soul, that there is such a thing as death, and that there is such a thing as life after death. That simple prayer is forgotten as we grow older, and we get so encumbered in the realities of time that it is easy to lose a sense of eternity. Luke 16, we read about two men. I won't go through all the details of the story. It was a rich man and a poor man. The rich man in verse 19 was dressed in all the fancy clothes and the gala living, and he was a party animal. And then there was the poor man, Lazarus, and he was a beggar outside of the gates. Verse 22 and 23 has something very instructive. It says that now it came about that the poor man died, and he was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. Verse 22 says of Luke 16, and in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. Now I want you to notice a couple of things. Number one, both men died. The rich man died, the poor man died, both were equally dead. But the Bible says, when it discusses both men and their death, it uses a conjunction, not a period. It says, the poor man died and. It says, and the rich man died and. Both men died and. What does death mean? Well, the biblical definition of death is not the human definition of death. In the Bible, death means separation, not cessation. When you and I use the word death, what we're talking about is what James 2:26 calls the separation of the immaterial part from the material part. There is a separation that occurs. Now, why does this separation occur? Well, we've got to go all the way back to the creation. When God made Adam from the dust of the ground and created him, Adam stood there, a lifeless statue, until the Bible says, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He gave him a soul. You are not who you are because of your body. You are who you are because of your soul. Your body is simply the container, the material container for your immaterial or personhood or your personality, as we would call it. Every man, every woman, every child born receives at the point of conception a soul. That is an immaterial part of them that is eternal in nature. When a person dies, the reason why it's not over is because the thing that died is only the body, not the soul. Your soul was created in immortality. It cannot die. There are only two options given in the Bible. Now, you can create all the extra ones you want, but there are only two given in the Bible. But there's also a lot in here about another place that we will talk about. When they bring you to your funeral, you will be the only one at the funeral, not there. They're going to bring the box down the aisle, put the box in front of the pulpit, and they're going to come look at you like you're somewhere in the vicinity. You long gone. My desire today is not to be morbid, but it is to be truthful. And the truth is, if Christ be not come, you're going to die. That's the truth. Now, I don't care how you camouflage it. I don't care what fancy words you use to change how bad it sounds. You can call it pass away if you want to. You can call it a family plot if you choose to. But the reality is that you and I are marching toward a destiny at your local cemetery. Now, the question on the floor is there anything on the other side? And everybody's got an opinion. The atheist who says, when you die, that's it. You're dead. You're gone. You're worm food. There is nothing on the other side. Then there is the universalist who says, there's only one thing on the other side, and that is the marvelous destiny of utopia, whatever you call it, so that we all get to enjoy the great by and by. For a loving God would never have his creatures go to a place called hell. Everybody has an opinion, but anybody who gives you an opinion that you know hasn't been there and back. Whoever tells you about what awaits on the other side of death is giving you an uninformed opinion that adds to our uncomfortability with this thing called the afterlife, because the inevitability of death is so uncertain when and where and how and what. A stomach cramp and you wonder if something else is going on. Gas pains that come up from your stomach to your chest. You wonder if something else is going on. An ache on the right side. Is this something else? Because there is an inevitability here that's scary. I don't want you to miss the point that it is inevitable. And so to not think about the afterlife is to miss the inevitable. To live like most people live. They'll come to church for an hour or two on Sunday, but spend most of the other time in between as though there were no death and were no afterlife. In fact, they've got whole systems available to you to help you to forget the fact that there is death and that you don't have to think about the inevitable. At death, immediately, the soul is separated from the body and delivered into one or two places. The Bible knows nothing of purgatory. Now, traditions have developed it and all of it, you know, everybody's developed it, but you won't find it in the Bible. All the discussions in the Bible say you go up, you go down. And so both men died. Both men were immediately carried away because death is separation, not cessation of existence. The first man's destiny is called Abraham's bosom. Now, I won't spend a lot of time here because we're going to talk about this whole thing of heaven. But why is it called Abraham's bosom? Well, this phrase of the bosom is a very intimate phrase, and I'll just give you a summary statement here. It's used when John, the Apostle John, rested his head on the bosom of Jesus. To rest your head on the bosom is to relax or be at rest. So this particular passage doesn't go into a lot of detail except for you and I to know that heaven is a place of eternal rest. But let me tell you what it's not a place of. It is not a place of eternal boredom. People want to know, what am I going to do in heaven all day? Fly around and play a harp? How boring. Let me hang out with my homies in hell. Who wants to be bored all day long, forever? Have you ever been bored for a week? That's pretty traumatic to be bored for a week. Think about being bored forever. Absolutely not. The glimpses of heaven that are provided in the Bible, there will not be 1 second of boredom. There will not be 1 second of frustration, irritation, aggravation, illness, sickness, depression. There will be eternal rest, and rest in the sense of internal enjoyment. There will be so much enjoyment in heaven, the Bible declares God is going to remove nighttime so that you won't ever not be able to see any of it, and he's going to give you a brand new body that won't get tired of enjoying any of it. It's going to be non-stop forever, because that's how long it takes to uncover God. Ephesians 2:7 says that in the ages to come, he might demonstrate to his people the magnificence of his grace. You pick your best day. Think back on your very best day, and that will be hell compared to your first minute in heaven. How long did it take God to create the heavens and earth? Well, let's just say the earth. How long did it take him to create the earth? Renovate the earth. 6 days, right? Jesus has been working on heaven for 2,000 years. Now, if he could create an earth in 6 days and come up with this, what do you think he's putting together up there that he's been putting working on for 2,000 years? It is staggering beyond your wildest dreams. Now, we'll look at this a little closer, but God let one of his apostles go to heaven and come back and talk about it. 2 Corinthians 12. His name is the Apostle Paul. One day he was stoned to death and left for dead. God took him, snatched out his soul, and allowed him to go back up to heaven and to come back and talk about it in 2 Corinthians 12. And he says, I saw stuff that are not lawful for a man to discuss. Have you ever seen something you just didn't know how to explain it? He said, what I saw up there was so staggering. So when he came back, guess what he said? He said, guys, I got to go. I got to leave y'all. He said, I can't stay here. He says, to stay with you is okay, but to go to be with him is far better. He says, I have not seen, ears have not heard. You can't conceive of this place called heaven. And you know the thing I like about it? Before the doctor pronounces you dead, you're already there.
When Dr. Evans continues our message in just a moment, he'll tell us more about why we don't have time to get used to being dead. What you're hearing today is part of Tony's 6-message series, The Afterlife. Glimpses of Heaven and Hell. It covers all your biggest questions about what's out there beyond the grave, gives you a biblical look at what eternal life is all about, and describes the kind of faith you need to get it. We'll send you this complete collection when you make a donation to help keep Tony's teaching on this station. And as a bonus, we'll also include the study guide that goes with it. It's the perfect way to deepen your personal devotions or to dig into this important topic with your small group, Bible study, or Sunday school class. This is a limited-time offer, so request the Afterlife Study Package at TonyEvans.org or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 for details before time runs out. I'll have our contact information again for you a little later on. But right now, let's get back to our lesson.
Now, of all the things I like about heaven, I'm looking forward to going, but let me tell you what makes me feel real good is I won't have to get used to dying. By the time the doctor pronounces this preacher dead, I will have been ushered out of this body and have been ushered into the presence of the Lord, awaiting my new body that will be eternal to keep up with my soul that is already eternal because I have trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Guess what? This preacher will never die. The good news about heaven is I don't have to die to go. In fact, when the Bible talks about a Christian dying, it uses another word, asleep. Not referring to the soul, referring to the body, because the body is awaiting its resurrection. Let me tell you, if you're a Christian today, why you don't have to fear death. Because you're fearing something you'll never experience. You will never experience it. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8. The moment you leave the body, you won't even be able to do a sightseeing tour of the universe. You will be immediately transformed or transfigured into the presence of God. You will never experience the thing that causes you the most fear. That's why Paul can say in 1 Thessalonians 4, we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. Yes, we cry because our loved ones are not here, and that's a very natural thing, but it's a hopeful cry, not a hopeless cry. Let me ask you a question. At your funeral, will it be a funeral or a memorial service? That makes a big difference. Pastor Hawkins, if I go first, don't have a funeral. I'm not interested in a funeral. Don't have a funeral. Party. Because I will be more alive at the point that you are funeralizing me than I have ever been before. Have a memorial service. Because a memorial service means see you later. And if you know Jesus Christ today, you will never be more alive than at the moment when the doctor pronounces you dead. Well, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Remember the thief on the cross, don't you? The thief on the right side dying next to Jesus. Guess what he said? Today you will be with me in paradise. Not 50 million years later. Today. Well, as soon as you close your eyes in death, you and I, buddy, are going to take a trip. And the angels usher you into eternity. And that's a good way to feel. When the doctor pronounces it terminal and you have this hope within you, yes, you may cry because you are going to leave your loved ones. That's a natural response, but it won't be tears without hope. It'll be tears with hope. I like Stephen in Acts chapter 7. They were stoning him to death. The man has got bricks coming upside his head. And while he was stoning him to death, and this is a whole nother point, but while he was stoning him to death, the Bible says, and he saw heaven open. And he saw Jesus Christ stand on the right-hand side of the Father. And Jesus Christ stood giving him a standing ovation. And he says to Jesus Christ, Christ, will you now receive my spirit? One of the great church fathers was dying. The family was gathering around crying. And he looked up and he said, I see heaven opening. And now I see earth receding. This is my crowning day. And when he said those words, he closed his eyes and died. Now, the beautiful thing about knowing Jesus Christ is when it comes time to die and the doctor is announcing, are you unconscious, and they got the pumps going on, while nobody knows what's happening on the outside, you're getting a preview of God on the inside, watching heaven open. And one of the reasons God lets you get sick, if he doesn't take you suddenly, is so that you want to get out of this body. He'll give you a little glimpse of where you're going so that you don't mind leaving, letting you move from consciousness to unconsciousness so you can transition yourself up out of here. Now, isn't that the way you want to go? But now, this only works if heaven is real, of course. This only works if the Bible is not a liar, Jesus is not a liar. If heaven is not real, Jesus is a liar. If heaven is not real, then he is not worthy to be worshipped. He is not worthy to be adored. Let's close the church down, sell the buildings, and do something else. Because if heaven is not real, then I can't worship a liar. If heaven is not real, then I can't worship a hypocrite. If heaven is not real, I can't worship a lunatic. But if he's not a liar, and if he's the eternal Son of God, if he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, let's get it on. But verse 23 says, and the rich man went to hell. He didn't stay dead. He was not annihilated. Please notice this. We'll come back to this in more detail. But he lifted up his eyes. He didn't lift up somebody else's eyes. He lifted up his. He cried out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Now, when we talk about hell, you're going to hear some things you probably have never heard before. Most people think of hell as people walking around with fire bursting out of them. That's not the picture you have here. This man is carrying on an intelligent conversation. He's not waking up going, ah! He is carrying on a very intelligent conversation in hell. There was memory of the past. There was no comfort, no possibility of leaving, and he was responsible for being there. 2 Peter 2:9 says that the Lord knows how to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment. Maybe you know more than I do, and there is no hell. Maybe you know more than I do, and there is no life after death. Maybe you know more than I do, and there is no eternity future. The only thing I'd suggest is don't be wrong. Not on this one. Donald Gray Barnhouse, whose first wife died, he was driving his kids from the funeral, and one of the kids said, Daddy, what happened? I don't understand. Why did mommy go? What's happening with this thing called death? Trying to explain death and eternity to his kids. And just then, a truck passed by and cast a shadow over the car. He looked back at the kids and said, kids, would you have rather have been hit by the truck or hit by the shadow? Well, of course, you'd rather be hit by the shadow, because the shadow doesn't hurt you. It just darkens you for a moment. Then, in his own wisdom, Barnhouse said these words. He said, son, when you die without Christ, you're hit by the truck. When you die with Christ, you're only hit by the shadow. The shadow is all you get. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I will fear no evil. This man opened up his eyes being in torment. You will see as we go through this series, verse after verse after verse, there are degrees you will discover of punishment in hell. Everybody's not equal. Everybody's hell is not equal to everybody else's hell. Everybody's heaven is not equal to everybody else's heaven. There are degrees because God is just in every way. But let me say this, folks. Eternity is a real long time. Let me tell you how long eternity is. I just left the Pacific Ocean, largest body of water in the world. Let's say you drained it. That'd be a big hole in the ground. And let's say you fill the Pacific Ocean with sand. Mount Everest is the highest mountain in the world. Let's say you made that sand pit of the Pacific Ocean as high as Mount Everest, the tallest mountain peak in the world. That's a pretty hefty sand pile, right? Let's say you got a bird, and the bird came and took one grain of sand every 100 quadzillion years. One grain. How long would it take that bird to finish that sand pile? You don't have numbers that go that far. But when the bird took its last grain of sand, you will have been in eternity 1 second. That's a long time to be wrong. Today, if you are a Christian, this is the only hell you'll ever know. Today, if you're a non-Christian, this is the only heaven you'll ever know. Don't play Russian roulette with eternity. As long as the wheel is spinning, you can change your bet. But once the wheel stops, all bets are off. God has come up with a way to take out the sting of death. You no longer have to wake up in the middle of the night sweating. What will happen to me when I die? A bee one day flew in a car with a little boy riding with his father. The boy began to scream. His father reached out and grabbed the bee and squeezed it in his hand. He then opened up his hand. The bee flew back out and began to buzz around, and the boy began to scream again. The father looked back and said, "Son, you don't have to scream." And he held out his hand. And there inside the palm of his hand was the stinger of the bee. He said, "Son, all the bee can do now is make noise because I got the stinger in my hand." On the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ took the stinger, so all death can do now is make noise. It has lost its sting. And an eternity waits for everybody who will simply come to Jesus Christ for salvation. He says, "I died for you, I arose for you, in order to give you free of charge, at no cost to you, salvation. All you've got to do is come. By faith, trust me, not yourself, not your good life, not your good works, not your church membership, not anything. Trust me. Come to me and I will take you there."
Dr. Tony Evans, talking about the decision that sealed his eternal future. If that's a decision you have yet to make, be sure to stay with us, because he'll come back in a moment to tell us how it's done. Today's lesson was titled, "What Happens When You Die?", part of Tony's current series, The Afterlife. As I mentioned earlier, we're offering this 6-message set and the accompanying study guide as our thank you gift when you make a contribution to help us keep this program coming your way. Contact us at tonyevans.org for the details. And be sure to take time to browse through some of our other resources, books, CDs, DVDs, and more. You can also sign up for Tony's weekly email devotional while you're there, or give us a call day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our resource team members help you. Again, 1-800-800-3222. Again, 1-800-800-3222. And now here's a final word from Dr. Evans.
If you've been listening to the broadcast and you have yet to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we can resolve that right now. I'm going to say a little prayer. I want you to pray it after me, but you've got to mean it for yourself. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I know I need a Savior because I can't save myself. So right now, I trust you alone because you died for me and arose for me to be my sin bearer. You are now my substitute, and I'm believing you to forgive my sin and to give me eternal life. Thank you for the free gift of salvation that you have given to me. Help me to live a life to please you. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if you or someone you know wants to learn more about what the Christian faith is all about, visit tonyevans.org today and click on the link that says Jesus. Tony has some things to share with you on video, and you'll find great resources you can download for free. One more time, that's tonyevans.org. You want to live a more passionate, purposeful life on earth? Dr. Evans says the way to do it is to think more about heaven. You'll help us learn how to do that tomorrow. I hope you'll be with us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.